Hey, Decoding TV listeners, it's David Chen. As you may be aware, Decoding TV exists because of paid subscribers at decodingtv.com. Becoming a paid subscriber gets you access to ad-free episodes, early access to episodes, as well as bonus episodes. Now, we're still in the process of figuring out what our bonus episodes are going to be. Some of them will be in front of the paywall on the main feed where everyone can listen to them, but a bunch of them will probably be behind the paywall, and you'll have to pay to listen to them. And those episodes behind the paywall will probably be like the one you're about to hear a preview of. This is a conversation about Constellation Season 1. You'll hear the first 15 to 20 minutes of the conversation. And if you want to hear the rest, become a paid member at decodingtv.com. Thanks to everyone at decodingtv.com who makes this podcast possible. And enjoy this bonus episode preview about Constellation Season 1 on Apple TV+. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Decoding TV, a podcast about television. I'm David Chen. Welcome to a bonus episode about Constellation. Joining me to talk about this show, Patrick Klepek. How's it going, Patrick?
Is it the blue version or the red version of me? Who's here?
Today on the podcast, we're going to be discussing Constellation Season 1. All 8 episodes have aired on Apple TV+. We have watched all of them. We are going to start by discussing our overall thoughts, whether you should watch the show. We're going to then share some detailed thoughts about what happens in the finale, what it means for the end of the show, the possibility Season 2, all that stuff. So, Patrick Klepek, let's get into our thoughts on Apple TV Plus's Constellation.
I miss you so much.
I miss you too, Mama. Will you be careful out there?
Always. I'm very happy to be back home. But things are different. I have a piano in my house, and I don't play the piano.
Do you have hallucinations?
Mama? Yeah.
According to the internet, the plot summary of Constellation is as follows. Quote, when a fatal accident occurs on board the International Space Station, a lone astronaut makes the heroic journey back to Earth, only to discover key pieces of her life, including her young daughter, have changed, end quote. Patrick Klepek, in our conversation about the first few episodes of this show, we talked about how this was a mystery box show, and there was going to be a lot of stakes riding on whether the mystery was a satisfying one at the end. Like, was it a satisfying solution or answer or whatever? And so let's start with this question. Do you think people should watch the show? Is it worth investing 8 hours of time into Constellation?
No, I don't think so. I think there is a movie's worth of ideas here stretched to an entire season of a television show. And the idea that those ideas are worth multiple seasons, I think, is not borne fruit by what you and I watched across those 8 episodes.
Wow. I got to say, mixed bag. Mixed bag for me. More negative than positive, but still a lot of redeeming qualities to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're into hardcore sci-fi, I think you might like this show. It's a gorgeous looking show. One of the most beautiful shows on TV. Noomi Rapace is awesome in it.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, the solution, quote unquote, to the question it posed, I think is probably complete nonsense, is my sense of it. So those are my like quick thoughts on should you watch it or not. So we'll talk now more about our overall thoughts on the season before diving into what exactly happens in the finale. But yes, now you, Patrick Klepek, said that there's about one movie's worth of plot stretched out into an 8-episode season. I think that there is a lot of truth to that, and that's what I was feeling until I got to episode 6, when I thought, oh, wow, this is interesting. This is like, this episode almost justifies making this a TV show, because essentially what happens in episode 6 is you experience the events of the first episode of the show from a different character's perspective.
Yes.
And that is very difficult to do in film. Like, it'd be very difficult to do that in a film. Right.
There's too much time. It's a clip. It's a flashback. It's using the form of television to its advantages, which is what can you do with an hour or a half hour or a distinct episode? You can mix up the perspective in ways that the audience will go along with and have the patience for. And that's one of the brilliant parts of that episode in particular.
Yeah. So that was cool. That was cool. But overall, I would agree with you that not only did it, like, even if this show was only 5 episodes long, I think it would have been a stronger show by far.
Yes, I agree.
Instead, the problem is that it spends so much time on the same concepts. And in particular, I'm going to say like a full 3 to 4 episodes were dedicated to Joe Erickson's time in this cabin with her daughter, right? Like it felt like it just went on forever. There was this, all this stuff in the cabin, and I couldn't even keep track of which cabin. Are there multiple cabins?
No.
There's multiple versions. You know, what is going
on? We're running across the ice. We're driving across the ice. We're doing all sorts of things. We're walking across the ice.
It felt interminable. Like by the end of the cabin stuff, I was like, I don't even care about any of this, who's where or what's going on with any of the cabin stuff. That's when I felt most acutely what you're talking about, that they stretched out the plot of this show too long. So anyway, yeah. Any other overall thoughts before we dive into some of the specific plotting of the show, Patrick Lepik?
Well, I think your note about the high concept ideas, how much you appreciate just interesting ideas as a premise, regardless of sort of like how those play out or how satisfying they're played out. I think that very conversation neatly folds into like a lot of your response to like a 3-body problem, right? Like how much mileage can you get out of a premise and those ideas relative to the story, characters, storytelling that is happening amongst those episodes. And on paper, I really like a lot of the ideas of Constellation, like the notion that, man, for a long time, we've been sending people to space with the understanding that like reality is a little thin up there and that you can swap worlds. We don't know what that other world is. We're not sure how to communicate with it, but it is thin up there and weird stuff can happen.
Yeah. Or put a different way. What if there was an actual explanation for why people become mentally unstable after going into space, right? Like what if there was a scientific explanation for that? That's kind of what this show presupposes.
And the idea that you could just get stuck in the other place and then experience that, like these people aren't mentally ill, like they have been zapped to another very familiar but yet very different, like those are all great ideas, and I just don't think the way the show packaged them together, the way I do think it could work as a television show, I actually don't think these ideas on their own aren't possibly interesting for 8 to 10 episodes. I just think the way it was deployed here was not particularly effective, often boring, and had me going, yes, I get it. Like I was so much in this show, you are ahead of the characters.
Yes.
And in such a frustrating, that can be fun.
That's
like,
it. No, that is almost always a painful place. Yeah, you're right. It can be fun if it's intentional, right?
Intentional. But I don't think it was intentional. It felt like it was just like treading water oftentimes to get to it. This felt like a show where like, we know here is our 3-season pitch. And it's like, I really wish someone had been like, what if it was 1 season? And I just compress, because I think that the implicate, and we, you know, we can get to this, like the implications of where this show ends up, again, on paper, curious to see, but I just don't have faith that they're going to find an interesting way to tell and explore those ideas over the course of an entire season, because I don't think it was demonstrated here particularly well.
I don't even give them as much credit as you're giving them. I don't think it was, here's a 3-season pitch. I think it was I don't even think they knew how to put 1 season together. I'm going to put that out there. Like, I think we'll talk a little bit about it momentarily, but I think that they didn't understand where they wanted this thing to go, and they didn't have satisfying explanations for virtually anything.
I don't even need a, like, I think it was frustrating. Like, I don't even need a satisfying explanation for the whys.
Yeah. Yeah.
there's different ways to imagine how you play with these ideas or where you leave the characters at the end. And I don't need, okay, timey-wimey, spaces. Like, I can go with you really far on that.
Interesting.
You know, like, imagine, like, a version of the show which, like, cuts to black, limited series, it ends, and, like, you're just trapped on the other side. And it's like, okay.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's versions of the ideas that I think are interesting. I just don't. I think we're in the same place of just not finding it particularly interesting the way they tried to explore those here in the
show.
I
was most frustrated by the rather ramshackle way the plot kind of came to its conclusion this season.
Yeah.
So, and we'll talk more about that. I want to say one other thing before we kind of get into a more detailed discussion, which is I do want to give a shout out for how good the show looks. I think it is one of the most beautiful shows in television. Watching this and Shogun and then comparing that to Three Body Problem, which I think mostly looks very bad or largely looks bad, is really a stark contrast, because it feels, you know, this is a show where it feels like the money's on the screen. It feels like, wow, these scenic vistas, these amazing camera motions, like all these visual effects. It's a good looking show. And so you could do a lot worse than watching a show like Constellation for purely aesthetic purposes. So, but all that said, let's dive into what actually happens in the final episodes of this show. All right, so Patrick Klepek, big reveal is the whole time in Constellation Season 1, we've actually been watching two parallel universes. Now, before I even continue with this, I want to say I, David Chen, and probably Patrick Klepek, probably missed this when we discussed the first few episodes. I don't know if this was because we were seeing both versions of Joe intercut with each other in the first episode. Then we were seeing Jonathan Banks as both Henry and Bud in the first few episodes. And that did not fully register to me during those episodes.
All that registered for me was that something felt off.
For sure.
Like, this does.
Yeah.
Occasionally be like, why would the character be there? But it's in the editing, they always found plausible explanations or plausible enough that I wasn't overthinking. Like, I would, if someone came to me and said, by the end of the first episode, I could tell we were cutting between like different worlds. Like, I'd believe you. I bet there is ample evidence in the show for that.
The biggest sign is that Jonathan Banks is called Henry in one dimension and Bud in another dimension. That's the biggest sign. But here's the problem, Patrick Klepek, is I think you and I are used to watching poorly edited things. Right. And so it's not clear, like in the first episode, for instance, we see Joe working on the Cal, the cold atomic laboratory in space. Cut to another version of Joe where they're not working on the Cal in space. And it's like, oh, is that what is your first explanation for that as a viewer? Oh, there must be two different versions of Joe in two different dimensions. Or, oh, that was just poorly edited. They just kind of like, the editor didn't realize that they, you know, like, I know clearly for me, clearly it was, oh, maybe they just got a little sloppy in the editing.
Continuity mistake.
not even continuity, but why is Jonathan Banks on a ship?
Right.
You know, on a cruise, and then he's back at NASA. Like, it's like, oh, well, maybe this is a flashback or whatever. I don't know, you know. So, but that was the clearest sign, was that in one version of reality, Joe is working on the Cal, and the other one, she's not. And eagle-eyed viewers will figure that out. And I agree with you, Patrick. If you're out there and you're saying, well, David Chen and Patrick, I got it from the first 5 minutes of the show that it was two different images. Good for you. I'm not saying...
I believe you.
We believe you. You're smart. But it's not something we immediately picked up. So, you know, that's one of the bigger signs. Jonathan Banks being Henry in one timeline and Bud in another dimension, you know, that was another big sign.
And that's a really fun idea. Like, that is one of the smarter ideas the show has, with the way it's playing between those timelines and a little winking at the audience early on.
We'll talk about it momentarily. Okay, so people online have decided to call one universe the red universe because that's the color of Erickson's car in that universe. And the other universe is the blue universe, right? So the version of Erickson we see is from the red universe, but ends up in the blue universe. And the blue universe is where we spend most of the time in the show. So in the blue universe, Red Erickson survives, but she doesn't remember anything about the cow, which is the experiment intended to capture quantum superposition where one thing can exist in two states simultaneously. Also in the Blue Universe, Jonathan Banks plays Henry Caldera, someone who saved the day during the Apollo 18 mission and becomes a revered astronaut with a successful NASA career. He's also the one working on the cow. But in the Red Universe, Jonathan Banks plays Bud Caldera, a washed-up scientist living in a shitty apartment in Los Angeles. Turns out that Bud and Henry actually switched places during the Apollo 18 mission, and it was actually Bud who saved the day, but ended up in the universe where he didn't save the day, and Henry is the one who didn't save the day, ended up in the universe where he did save the day. Similarly, you know, Erickson ends up in a different universe where she actually survives, but in her universe, she actually dies. Like, the version of her from the Blue Universe ends up in the Red Universe and dies. We learn later in the show. All right, so this is the main concept of the show. Mm-hmm. What did you think of how the show handled this situation, Patrick Lepik?
It didn't really work for me until, like, you're talking about, like, the when we would get long cuts, long sequences where we could spend with the other versions of these characters. I found that to be the most... The show is almost like a little too clever by half in the early parts where, again, like we said, people could put together what's going on. But if you're just sort of going along with the show, maybe you're just like, well, I like you said, I'm not quite sure what's happening. This doesn't seem to fully line up, but maybe these are flashbacks that aren't as communicated to me as well as the viewer, and it all makes sense down the line. And then it really wasn't towards the back half of the show when we start spending real time with these characters in these sort of like alternate reality or alternate reality. Like, it's unclear if it's like there's multiple ones of these, is there just the two, who's to say, but I found that to be the most like compelling and scary thoughts that the show raises, is existing, like taking the world that we know and then having you spend extended periods of time with that character, that version of that character in the other reality. That's just so much more engaging than, like, by the seventh time when a character would get like somebody's name wrong, it's like, oh, that's ominous. My name's not David, it's Peter. It's like, I get it, Joe. It's this space spookies, or there's an, you know, at a certain point, like, take the concept and do something with it. And it starts doing that, but it comes pretty late into the show where I feel like it starts leaning into the strengths of the idea in a way that I found the most compelling, thought-provoking, and honestly sort of scary to think about, of like, if you just were to wake up one day and your reality bent into another place, what would you do? Everyone would just think you were your cuckoo, and that is a scary notion.
Agreed. Well, it's not going to shock you to learn that I...
That was a bonus episode preview of our conversation about Constellation Season 1. To hear the rest, become a paid member at decodingtv.com. Thanks so much.